This week on the Jock and Nerd podcast, we review 1975's Terror of Mechagodzilla, plus highlights from this year's Oscars, an insane boxing match will air live on Netflix, the Roadhouse remake early reviews are out, and more, all in this edition of the Jock and Nerd Weekly for Monday, March 11th, 2024.
This is Jason Mewes, and for reasons best left between you and your therapist, you're listening to the Jock and Nerd Podcast, Snooch to the Nooch. Check. Check one. All right. This is for all you fans out there. Let's give it up.
Oh yeah, what's up, listener? Thank you for pressing play, and welcome to the Jock and Nerd Podcast, where we give you comic book and superhero TV and movie news, reviews, and whatever we choose.
Jock and Nerd!
My name is Imran.
My name's Anthony.
He's the jock.
He's the nerd.
And Anthony Rugboy has the week off. I had to give him a week off.
What?
Yes. I mean, he's always here.
Lame.
Yeah, I know it's lame. I know you miss him. But
how does he get a week off? Don't we pay this guy?
Listen, payroll was getting a little thin. I had to give him some comp. Do we pay him? I don't think we pay him. You know what? I think he's still drunk from the last episode. Possible. he was a little sloshy getting into Duden at the end there.
Yeah, he was a little lit, yeah. As the kids would say.
Yeah, that's always our favorite Rugboy performance. But
He's always, if you didn't already know, he does drink during the show.
Yes, every show.
Every show, if you can't hear the ice clinking in his, what he's told us off the air as a pint glass filled with vodka.
Yes. So it's just a matter of how quickly he drinks.
Right.
Sometimes
if he starts a trail off. Yes. He's, you know, it's going. What's happening.
Sometimes he drinks quicker than other times. But look, Ruggs, rest up. Enjoy the week off.
I really don't give a shit.
Rest in peace. No, he's not dead.
Oh.
He'll be fine.
Right. Okay.
Not funny.
We always have him here, though. That's the thing. So,
not funny.
Fuck that show.
He'll always be in our hearts.
Ruggs is always in our heart and always part of the show because of all the sound clips. In the meantime, he's missing out on kind of a fun Godzilla geek out episode here. Listener, let's get to it.
The Jock and Nerd Podcast.
So, the 96th Annual Academy Awards. Is that how you pronounce that? No. The Oscars. 96th Annual Oscars aired just yesterday as we record. Anthony, did you watch?
I watched a little bit. I watched some of the major awards towards the end.
Oh, you did? Okay. The numbers, I'm always curious. The numbers are in. You, me, along with 19.5 million people tuned in to watch the 2024 Oscars, which is 4% over last year that they pulled in 18.8 million. And it is a 4-year audience high. So going into this, you know, they had a lot of blockbuster movies. They had the Barbenheimer. They were trying to get more viewers. I think their little tricks worked a little bit because it seemed like a lot more people were interested this year.
Yeah. The ratings have been going up since the COVID Oscars every year. So
Jimmy Kimmel hosted. He did a decent job. Nobody got slapped. That removes points for me. I like a nice slapping at my Oscars.
Was that last year?
No, that was like a few years ago. That was like 2 years ago.
2 years ago?
I think so already. Yeah.
Oh wow.
Seems like a long time.
Time flies.
The last time Jimmy Kimmel hosted, I don't know, you remember they gave him the wrong card for the best picture.
Is that him?
Yes. And like, here's the thing. The guy's actually a really good host. I thought he did a good job. He can handle the moment. And I thought he played that well. And this year,
Trump didn't like him.
Oh my God. I think that was an actual tweet.
No, it was. I looked it up right after he put that out on his own. He put that on his Truth social.
So he, and like, I just saw a story where Kimmel was like talking to the producers and they're like, we have some time. He's like, oh, I'm going to read this tweet. And they're like, you shouldn't do that. He's like, I'm going to do it. And then he did it. And I was like, holy shit, is that real? Worst Oscars host ever. Unbelievable. Yeah, there was a lot of Trump jokes. But They started an hour early, which is different.
Yeah, that was nice.
Also on a day of daylight savings time, so I think that confused some people, maybe. But it was still, he kept the show going. There were some funny bits. I'll get into some of my highlights. But let's get to the big Godzilla highlight. Godzilla minus one.
Starting with Godzilla.
I'm starting with the Godzilla. Because look, we're reviewing a Godzilla movie later. We're going to start with Godzilla right now. Godzilla minus one wins the best visual effects Oscar.
Arthur. Nothing like a good Arthur for Godzilla minus Arthur. One.
Being out the creator, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning, and Napoleon. All movies that spent a lot more money than Godzilla Minus One's $15 million budget. That's pretty dope.
That is pretty nice.
It only took 70 years and 38 movies for Godzilla to get its first nomination and win. It's also the first Japanese-made movie to win Best Visual Effects. And the first time in 55 years a director has won the Visual Effects Award since Stanley Kubrick won for 2001, A Space Odyssey, in 1969. That's an interesting stat because you don't really think a director's doing their own visual effects.
No, that's not merely a thing.
Yeah, except for Takashi Yamazaki did, and I guess
Kubrick. I liked the bit before with Schwarzenegger and DeVito.
Oh my God, that was cute.
And calling out Keaton.
First of all, they show up and you're like, twins, make a twins sequel.
Oh, 100%.
And then they're talking about how they're both Batman villains. And then Arnold's just like, Batman, that son of a bitch. And then he goes,
look. He's like, how did he beat you?
Yes.
Fire?
Yeah.
Love. How did he beat you? He threw me out a window.
That's so funny. And he's like, look, he's right over there. And then fucking Michael Keaton just perfectly playing along.
Right.
It was so good. Give him a Batman Beyond movie already. What are you waiting for?
Or Twins, like you mentioned earlier, Twins 2 movie.
They both look great. I would love to see a Twins 2 with like catching up with those characters. Wouldn't be fucking hilarious.
They were great. That was a nice. That was a good throwback and a nice introduction to the award.
Back to Godzilla. Did you like how they all had the Godzilla toys with them when they went up and got the award?
I did. I was happy Godzilla Minus One won the award. That was really nice to see. Controversial opinion, I'll say it. Bilotti might just croak when I say this. I really don't think it deserved to win.
Oh, over who would you have given it to out of this?
Probably the creator.
Really? Yeah. Okay.
I think Godzilla Minus One is the best movie of the nominees. And I think the Oscar people went, I like this movie the best. It's the little engine that could. Yeah. I will vote for this because it's got a great little story.
Yeah.
But if you're really objectively judging, let's just take the budget out of it, take the movie quality out of it. If you're objectively judging the special effects for Godzilla Minus One versus some of the movies in there, I don't think it's better. It's just, it's a better movie and a better story and you know, it's a moment for Godzilla. I'm happy. Don't get me wrong. I'm happy that it won. I just don't think it is actually the best.
Because of the budget? Is it more impressive?
I think the budget thing probably is a factor. Two things. I think it's the budget. Everyone went, whoa, that budget with those effects. And this movie just had a lot of hype behind it. People really liked the movie. You know, of those five movies, I would say Godzilla Minus One was certainly the most beloved. Guardians was pretty good and Mission Impossible is really good, but Godzilla Minus One had the whole story thing going on behind it with the, you know, Japanese movie that's done really well. I think it might have beat out Creator or Napoleon. I think it beat out both in the American box office.
Oh, really? Interesting. Yeah. And then you think about the Creator and that was a smaller budget and like what he did by shooting everything first and going over and putting the visual effects, stunning work. But yeah, I'm happy Godzilla. I was surprised. It's just like they were that the Godzilla won.
Yeah, Godzilla Minus One more domestically than the Creator.
Wow. That's pretty great.
I think when it gets down to it, a lot of these things just become kind of a popularity contest.
Yeah. I mean, I'll go over some of the awards and there wasn't really a lot of surprises. There were some surprises. There were some points where the Academy could have rewarded, you know, a certain thing and then they didn't. And So it's kind of interesting, but this one is fantastic for Godzilla fans. Just the fact that like 70 nice. Years, 70 years of Godzilla movies, and they
and you never really see even just big monster movie like that honored at the Oscars. You know, usually these, I think the best effects awards, you see a lot of Marvel and stuff, which is fine. But no, it's cool.
And regarding the budget, I think the last movie that had a really low budget to win this was Ex Machina in 2015.
Also, I mean, just for reference, the last few best effects. So 2020, look at the budget comparison. You know, Godzilla Minus One wins. Last year was Avatar, Way of the Water.
Yeah.
Huge budget. Yeah. Dune, huge budget. Yeah. Tenet, huge budget.
Yeah.
1917, the year before that. So, you know, Godzilla Minus One.
It's so, again, that movie all around, what an achievement. You know, we're going to talk about the end of the Showa era and to see where that movie is now. Like, just adds to, I really want to see it again. I think it's coming out on.
I lied. DVD. No Marvel movie of the last 16 years has won.
Has won best visual effects, huh?
Yeah. Oh. The latest one was Spider-Man 2, which was the one of the Marvel MCU movie. Yeah.
Wow. So Marvel has not picked up a visual effects Oscar for not even for Endgame. No. They've been nominated. They get nominated.
They've been nominated. They get nominated
all the time, and they get beat. That's interesting. So here's another thing that I was sad about. Across the Spider-Verse loses to The Boy and the Heron for best animated picture. The first one, of course, won an Oscar.
Yeah, I haven't seen The Boy and the Heron.
I haven't seen it either, but it's Studio Ghibli, and I understand it's that guy Miyazaki's. It's his last movie. That's perhaps why he got it. Also, maybe because this Spider-Verse is like a half a movie. It's like a part one of a movie.
Yeah, that was curious that it lost. But right? I've heard a lot of good things about The Boy and the Heron, too.
Yeah. No, I was expecting...
You're not dealing with Roman Polanthony, so...
well,
it's been years since I was Roman Polanthony, so I'm not as... I'm not speaking on this with a well-rounded view of what's everything that's going on in the movie industry.
I haven't seen a lot of these movies, but I plan to. A lot of them are on streaming. I've seen some of them. Other highlights,
Poor Things, I've heard, is a wild movie.
So Poor Things is on Hulu, and Emma Stone beat out Lily Gladstone for best actress. So
second best actress win.
Yeah, and that one was like, here is the first Native American actress nominated going up against four white women.
Yeah, but you get to see Emma Stone's boobies.
Oh, really?
Poor Things. Ooh. Yeah.
Also, I think she's in her movie more than maybe Lily Gladstone is in the 3 hours of Killers of the
Flower. From what I've heard from the people that I follow, either one would have been a good winner. It's not a robbery.
That one was a close race. They did this other thing that I really liked for the acting awards. They would bring out five previous winners of each category. Yeah,
usually what they do is the last year's best actor.
Right.
Introduces the award for best actress. But yeah, this I like the kind of like the history with the five.
That was great. Winners. Each one of them would talk up one of the nominees.
That was cool.
Yeah. I mean, I like the show, but some of it, at times, I was like, man, this is really self-indulgent. Like, there's a lot of ego stroking. Yeah. Holy shit.
It's Hollywood just...
Right? I forget about that.
Yeah, just jacking off on camera.
Some people seem sincere, though. Like, when Emma won, that seemed like a sincere
reaction. I think this year there wasn't so many actors telling us how to vote and stuff, which was good.
Yeah, there was a couple of messages about certain things, and I know they had protesters outside, Palestinian protesters were outside, and that was an issue. Did you see the almost naked John Cena?
I saw tweets about that.
That was funny, because he gave out the award for best costume. It's kind of funny. It was a funny bit, because they referenced there was a streaker like in the 70s on one of the live airings, like a dude ran across stage. Naked. So they were doing that bit. There was lots of Madam Web jokes that were kind of funny.
I heard that,
Did you catch any of Ryan Gosling's I'm Just Ken performance?
I did not, no, unfortunately.
That was great.
Was that good?
Simu Liu, Kingsley Benadire, all the Kens are there, and then fucking Slash from Guns N' Roses up there on stage with him.
They did the song from the movie.
Yes, they did I'm Just Ken. It was fantastic. Barbie winning only one award, the Billie Eilish song. One.
Yeah, the Barbie kind of lost momentum.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the other thing before I get to like the big winner, they did a little Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt did a little tribute to stunt work in Hollywood, which was great. I'd love seeing that. But I really think they need like a best stunt team category. because
that'd be kind of cool.
That, right? They should be rewarded. Next year, they're adding a best casting category, which, sure, great. Yes, that's a talent. It's a skill.
Yep.
But give the fucking stunt guys something. I know they have their own awards. There's like stunt awards.
Yeah, it'd be good to see, though, the Oscars honor the stunts.
Fucking hell, they should. It's a huge part of it. I would love to see a best stunt award. So, big winner, Oppenheimer. This was not really a surprise. Takes home 7 of 13.
No, not a surprise. Nolan's first Oscar.
Yes.
Best director.
Yes. Christopher Nolan's first Oscar. Robert Downey Jr. first Oscar, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also won editing, original score, cinematography, supporting actor or lead actor, Cillian Murphy, and best picture, obviously.
Yeah, I don't have an opinion on if it deserved it because, again, haven't seen it. But Oppenheimer, we reviewed it on the show. Movie that I probably won't watch again, but I admired as, you know, very strong technical achievement. And moreover, happy that Nolan is, you know, got his flowers, as the kids say, because he's one of the all-time great directors.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think it's always validated in some way or another when the Oscar for best director and you get a best picture movie out of it. And he got both. So there you go.
Yeah, that was a huge night for Nolan. Good for him. And like you said, it's a long movie. It's a good movie. I'm just surprised he didn't win for like Dark Knight. He should have maybe some other movie.
So the Dark Knight was the reason why the Oscars switched from five nominees to now they got 10.
Oh, that's right.
Dark Knight was snubbed that year for a best picture nomination. And then they were like, oh shit, we gotta, can't just be at five, having five here.
That's right. So he changed the fucking rules. But yeah, big night for Oppenheimer. Poor Things, I think, wins 4.
You wanna know the last few best directors?
Yes. Who was the last
one? Nolan.
Year? Yeah.
Last year was Daniel Kwan and Daniel Scheinert.
Oh yeah, the Daniels for Everything Everywhere.
Year before that, Jane Campion.
Uh-huh.
Chloe Zhao.
Oh, that's right.
Bong Joon-ho.
Wow.
Alfonso Cuarón.
Yeah.
Guillermo del Toro. Damien Chazelle. Alejandro González Iñárritu. Twice. Alfonso Cuarón and Ang Lee. And we'll stop there. Michael has a Novitius. I don't know who that is. Tom Hooper.
See, I mean,
that's those are the last since 2010.
I think this is an achievement for them because it's the first time a movie that came out in July has won Best Picture. Oh. And this is like a mainstream blockbuster for all intents and purposes.
It is.
Right? The movie makes almost $1 billion.
Well, it's a mainstream blockbuster, but it's also an Oscar Beatty movie.
It is.
With
it's
a
both
biopic.
Things. Yeah.
And you got Nolan. Then you have a big cast. I think it was the critical drinker said this. He didn't think it say it in a bad way, but he basically was like, it's a safe pick. Like everyone liked this movie.
Yeah.
Everyone can say it's really good. It's not an artsy film that no one's seen.
Right.
It's not a pick where years later we're gonna go, oh fuck, that was a bad pick. So by the way, 2002 Oscar Best Director Oscar Roman Polanski.
Roman Polanski is there.
Just want to throw that out there. My boy.
But I still need to see, like, I watched The Holdovers. I was nominated. Great movie. Highly recommended.
Oh, yeah? Holdovers, what's that about?
That is...
You probably talked about it on the show.
We did. That's the Paul Giamatti one where he's got...
Where he's like a counselor or some shit?
Yeah, he's like a teacher at a school. It's in the 70s, and the Holdovers are the kids who don't have anywhere to go, like, over Christmas break, and they start out hating each other. And they end up where? Guess where? Loving each other.
Oh.
It's one of those movies.
Gotcha.
But it's a fantastic journey. But Anatomy of a Fall is on Apple TV Plus. Killers is on Apple TV Plus. I got to check those out. Poor Things, I want to see.
Killers is a 3.5-hour movie.
I know. That's why I have yet to press play on Killers of the Flower Moon. Because I'm like.
Poor Things I've heard is wild. One of my friends was really wanting me to watch that.
Yeah, it looks crazy. And they won like costume design and such.
Zone of Interest, I heard, is pretty good.
Man, it beat it. Like Barbie didn't even win production design or screenplay.
Costume.
Yeah.
Didn't win costume, which is crazy.
Yeah, didn't win costume. So it just walks away with that Billie Eilish song, wins everything. So a fun Oscars, some surprises, but a lot of it at the end was very. I was like, Oppenheimer's going to win. Oppenheimer's going to win. And they did. Just keep continuing. To win. Listener, let us know what you thought about this year's Oscars. Join the conversation. Join our Facebook group, Jock and Nerd Nation.
Jock and Nerd!
It's a fun, exclusive, closed group just for you. to geek out in. Check it out. Okay, let's follow that up with some streaming news / jock news. Anthony, I need to hear your opinion on this. Netflix has announced in July they will be airing a boxing match.
Yes.
Featuring a 27-year-old Jake Paul fighting a 57-year-old Mike fucking Tyson. What?
Oh, shit.
The fuck?
What the fuck is this? Holy shit. This can't be. This is a stunt. What is going on?
Yeah. So, first off, big news in terms of Netflix finally.
Yeah, it's a big get.
Really getting into live sports. Now, this is a weird thing to get into, but it's definitely a spectacle. And they're not charging extra for it. So, some of these streamers, such as ESPN Plus.
Oh, man.
Will pay, you know, you have to pay the monthly fee, but then you got to pay the pay-per-view. Netflix is not doing that. They're just throwing it on their streamer. They're the biggest streamer. Live sports is obviously huge, and Netflix is finally thinking, you know, has been considering and finally doing something at this scale. That said, this is a, what we call in the industry, a freak show fight.
Yeah.
I don't like, I mean, I'm going to watch it. Don't get me wrong.
I'm fucking watching this too. Like, here's what they did. They got me. I don't give a shit about it in sports.
Yeah.
But you tell me Mike Tyson's going to fight Jake Paul. I'm fucking, and I don't have to pay. I'm already paying. It's just, I'm fucking watching that. Hell yeah.
Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, then, yeah, this is exactly what they want.
Yeah.
I don't even know how to wrap my head around. I don't even know if this is going to be an exhibition bout or a sanctioned fight. I mean, there's part of me that thinks 57-year-old Mike Tyson still could potentially do something, but God, he's 57 years old.
But here's the thing. If this is not a stunt, if this was a real, like, sanctioned fight, my first instinct is Mike Tyson murders this gentleman in the ring.
See, that would be the first instinct, but then you have to realize he's 57 years old.
He's 57, but I was watching some of the videos of him training. His legs are still the size of trees. I mean,
I don't know. Those might be old videos.
Okay.
I've heard that those might be old videos.
No shit.
I've seen Jake Paul box. I don't think he's awesome or anything, but he's athletic and he's 27 and he's knows how to box.
He's 27 and he's trying to be like a legit boxer, right?
Well, this makes me think that there's some sort of handshake agreement where maybe they don't knock each other out and they just kind of put on a show, because none of this, I don't really get it.
Yeah, this is crazy. I was like, what the fuck?
I've also heard, like, there was an MMA fighter named Daniel Cormier who commentates on UFC, and he said weeks ago he saw Mike Tyson walking around with a cane.
Oh, no. Oh, dear.
I don't know what's going on here.
Oh, that's not good.
I mean, it's such a spectacle. Everyone's going to watch it, but it's just, I don't know what to even make of it. The worst thing in the world would be for Jake Paul. Everyone would jump up for joy. But if Mike Tyson were to knock out Jake Paul, everyone would just cream themselves.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If you're,
but I don't think that's the likely scenario. No, I don't think that's going to happen.
If you're scripting this, is that the outcome you want? You want a draw? That's boring. Mm-hmm. But then you want Jake Paul to knock out Mike. But does that actually count? If I don't know. It's crazy. This is crazy. Like, what the fuck? I say put both of the Paul brothers in the ring with him. Michael fucking murder both of them. I think he's still got it. Because it's fucking Iron Mike Tyson. But yeah, what? That's going to be a circus. I can't wait. When is this? July?
Yeah.
July 20th live event. But yeah, huge get for Netflix.
Yeah, that's big. I mean, this is going to draw a lot of eyes.
So I think they're going to pick a bunch of subscribers. Who's not going to watch this? All right. So yeah, I had to get your take. So you don't know if it's a real fight.
I just don't know what to. I mean, it could be a real fight, but I just don't know. I don't know what to make of it. I mean, the worst thing would be the real worst thing would be just seeing Mike Tyson get just brutally knocked out.
Yeah, that would be sad. That,
and then we would just be like, what was this? Why did we didn't even watch this?
Yeah, you don't want to tarnish his legacy, but then Jake Paul also can't look like a complete bitch, you know. Mm-hmm. So let's see how they write this one. Let's see who the writers are. They're going to need some good writers to figure out a proper ending. Speaking of good writers and a naked John Cena, let's move on to this. I got some updates about Peacemaker from James Gunn.
Oh, yeah.
So last week we talked about Superman started filming. The movie is just called Superman. This week, James Gunn said that Peacemaker season 2 is happening. It's going to come out before Waller. It's going to take place right after the events of Superman. Then he apparently said season 1 is no longer canon, and then followed it up by saying, well, most of it isn't, or is, or some of it isn't. It got confusing when someone wrote to him, why is Peacemaker season 1 not canon if all the events still happen in the DCU? And he says, because all the events didn't happen in the DCU. I mean, most do, but there are a few things outside the line, so I can't say it's pure canon. Of course, he's got to be talking about, like, remember at the end of the show?
Yep.
The fucking Justice League is there, and Momoa, and Ezra Miller.
That's exactly the part of it that makes it confusing, because you see the silhouettes of the Justice League, but the people you do see are Barry Allen's Flash,
yeah,
played by Ezra Miller, and then Jason Momoa Aquaman, which makes this canon to that. But then if you're making this canon to the new DCU, that doesn't make sense. But you know that he wants to make this part of it.
Yeah, but does the main story, did those events happen, I guess? Well, you know, and that was just like a tag in the last episode. Like, so if you just pretend that didn't happen, and you can kind of believe that it's not canon, or it's in the new canon, or whatever. So he essentially wants us to just forget that happened, basically, everyone. Just that last part.
Yeah, just forget that last part.
It didn't happen. That's David Corn Sweat. It's not Henry Cavill Superman. But I love how he's just like, it's canon and it is.
Viola Davis is also in it, though.
Yeah, so she's still canon. And you know, his wife is Jen Holland playing.
Of course
what's
she's
her name?
Canon. She's got canon.
What about all the other characters? Remember there was a big like alien kaiju fucking thing in the cave? That shit was crazy. That's a great show.
Which show? Which part of that was that?
Peacemaker. Remember
there was an alien kaiju?
There was like a big bug thing hanging.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like controlling people or something? I forget.
Yeah, there was.
It got wacky.
That was the whole premise, was the bugs were controlling people.
Right, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's good. I like
that. Were they
that.
Good or bad? I forgot.
I can't remember
either.
Also, it's like a heavy R-rated show, so I wonder how that tone fits in, if they'll stick with the R-rated tone moving forward.
There was the one bug that was infesting Clemson Mern.
Yes.
Was a good bug.
Oh, that's right. There was two factions, and they were trying to stop the bad bugs that were also there.
Yeah, he was trying to stop the other bugs. He had so many good lines in that fucking show.
He was great, and then he was dude in Guardians of the Galaxy.
He was real evil in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah. What was that character's name? I can't remember.
The High Evolutionary.
Oh, the High Evolutionary. With his face stitched on. All of this. Right. Bugs, aliens, looking like humans. It sounds a lot like a Godzilla movie. I'm going to tell you. Let me tell you what.
Yeah, that's a big Godzilla thing.
That sounds like a Godzilla movie to me. We'll get into that. I wanted to check in to the Dune Part 2 box office. It's doing pretty well, Anthony. Are you surprised? Probably not.
Dune?
Yeah.
No, this movie's going to have some really good legs. It's a good movie. It's really good.
It didn't open at number one. Kung Fu Panda 4 beat it, but it only dropped 44% from week one to week two.
40%?
Well, yeah, about 44%.
That's pretty good.
That's really good. Anything under 60, 70, 65 is good, I think. So
I think 65 is bad.
65 is, that's the tipping point.
Okay. Yeah.
But it's made $157 million domestically, $370 million worldwide. So
I think we're getting our part three, right?
Yes, but I don't think it's going to be for a while.
Yeah, he's going to take his time.
He's got to be burned out. I mean, these movies can't be easy to make. Oh, and as far as the Oscars next year, expect the fucking Dune sweep, I predict.
Oh, yeah. Definitely an early contender for Best Picture and lots of other stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I was thinking about, though, when we haven't thought about this movie in a long time, but yeah. I was watching one of the guys that I follow on the Oscars, and they do this whole RIP to movies that could have been in the Oscars or were at the Oscars but didn't do anything.
Yeah.
And he brought up Air, And I thought to myself, oh, yeah, we watched Air.
I liked Air, and it was...
Air had no love from the Oscars, no nominations or anything.
It was also early Oscar pick. Yeah, you had... I don't even think Matt Damon was there, Ben Affleck. And that came out real before Oppenheimer, even. That was like April or March of last year. So, like, timing, I think, is part of it. Like, obviously,
timing really helps.
You got to put these movies out at the end of the year. Well,
the whole game when it came to the Oscar season was to release your movie as late as possible. It's got the latest buzz. It's the freshest in people's minds.
I think Oppenheimer, people have been talking about since the summer. So, like, I feel like there's almost like it was a burnout on Oppenheimer. And finally, we can stop talking about fucking Oppenheimer. All right. What?
Dune 2
is the next obsession. You can talk about that for a year until the fucking movie comes out. Okay, let's finish up with this.
Okay, I got it.
We'll finish up with this. Next week, finally, the Roadhouse remake.
Oh, yeah.
It's coming out Amazon Prime, March 21st. Straight to video. And it did premiere at South by Southwest. There is a rotten...
Didn't Doug Liman throw a whole fit? Or did he? I think he was there, right?
Yes. All right, well, you want to start there? We'll start there. Remember... when Doug Liman was like, they promised me this would be theatrical, I'm boycotting South by Southwest because they lied to me. A lot of different stories came out since then. I'm going to get to those. But here is the article from Variety. Quote, Doug Liman got a standing ovation at the South by Southwest premiere of his remake of Roadhouse, an event that he originally promised he'd boycott. Apparently, they were chanting his name at the end of the post-screening, and Gyllenhaal was there. And he showed up. So I don't know what happened to your boycott idea.
Yeah. I kind of stick to your guns there.
So I kind of know what happened because Variety had a story in February. This is what came out that Amazon. So I think they got this movie before Amazon got bought, right? It was MGM and then Amazon got bought.
Amazon bought MGM.
Amazon bought MGM. That's what I meant. They had given the filmmakers a choice. They said, we will give you $60 million and you can have a theatrical release, or we will give you $85 million to make this movie and it can be a streaming release. And apparently everybody chose the latter, the $85 million. Why wouldn't you choose the higher budget? Even Gyllenhaal said that Amazon was always clear that it was streaming. So I don't know. I don't know who told what, whatever. It's coming out on streaming next week. And the Rotten Tomatoes right now, after just 23 reviews, 74%. So
there you go. Let's go.
It's good. It's good / mixed, basically.
Yeah.
I've heard that it is.
But it's not bad so far.
It's not bad. Horrible. No, it is a.
Take that, rug boy.
It is.
Lame.
It is a fresh so far. And I've heard things like it is a proper tribute to the 89 Roadhouse. It's over the top. It's violent. Apparently, Conor McGregor steals the show. I'm looking forward to this.
I am as well. I'm very much.
And I'll tell you why. Because Bill Simmons Rewatchables.
Yeah.
They just did a Roadhouse episode.
I got to watch
they
that.
They never did.
Listen to that.
Shit. They'd never done Roadhouse somehow.
Right.
Oh, my God. That was a great episode. I'm definitely.
You listened to it already?
Yeah, it's very good. Like, for example, I forgot. They mentioned there's 9 fights in the original Roadhouse movie.
Is there really?
There's 9 fights. I'm definitely rewatching that. It is an utterly rewatchable movie before I go see this
movie. You got to rewatch Roadhouse Roadhouse. Yeah.
You got to watch Roadhouse before the Roadhouse. I mean, at least it's still rated R. And Joel Silver still producing. So we'll see. I'm kind of hopeful. There's no audience score yet, of course, but.
Yeah. No, I'm very much anticipating this movie. I mean, does it need to be remade? No.
No.
But is Roadhouse of its time and almost at a bar that just cannot be hit? Probably.
Yeah.
But the fact that they did it.
Exactly.
And they and Doug Liman and Gyllenhaal and you got Connor. I'm just curious, what the fuck is this?
I mean, the original is one of the best like macho action movies that's also really funny and memorable.
Well, this one I saw, I was watching UFC this weekend and they released a promo of Jake Gyllenhaal as if he was a UFC fighter.
Oh shit! Is that from the movie? I wonder.
Yeah, and it was like him versus this other guy, and they were showing clips, and it was pretty good. It was pretty funny. They really went all out with him being a UFC former UFC fighter.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, I think it's gonna be a fun time, and it may not live up to it, but give me some good fights and some good action. That'll be fun. March 21st, Amazon Prime. Okay, let's take a break here. We'll play some promos and come back and talk about Godzilla in the 70s right after this.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Hey there, everyone. Brian here, host of TV Trivia Pod. It's a trivia-style podcast focusing on TV and movies. Listen in for questions like, what's the name of Michael Scott's screenplay? What do you say to view the Marauder's map? And what's everyone eating in the post-credit scene of Avengers? Play along to TV Trivia Pod anywhere you get podcasts. And stay tuned for more trivia.
Attention podcast listeners and YouTube watchers. I'm Logan, the host of Mostly Superheroes, a weekly pursuit for the world's best stories with an emphasis on live-action superhero stuff. Every week, join me, PC Mike, The Giggler, Scotty Scoop, and Carrie as we talk MCU, DCU, books, TV, movies, and more. MostlySuperheroes.com is where you want to be. Watch us on YouTube, listen where you get your podcast, and we'll see you Monday, Sunday on Patreon. Enjoy the rest of the show.
Doc and Nerd Podcast.
Listener, if you enjoy the show, please jump over to jockandnerd.com/Patreon and join our Patreon fan club.
Jock and Nerd!
You can give back on a monthly or annual basis. We appreciate everyone's support. It keeps the show literally going for what will be next week, Anthony, 9 years. 9 years.
Wow.
March
20th. Next week?
March 23rd. We'll make it 9 years of podcasting weekly.
Wow. 9 years.
Yes.
Jesus Christ.
Over 500 episodes.
I'm still a millennial, but I was still a kid.
We are close to the point where Anthony will be the age I was when we started the podcast. Oh, that
and look the way you do too.
Oh no, the Asian don't raise it. You're never gonna get there.
Can you imagine the day I turn the age you do when you first started, and I just all of a sudden transform into the Asian white version of you?
That'd be amazing. Instantly, like hits.
Like right away.
Click.
There's no gradual, I just turned into Imran.
I think when we started this, all my hair was black, I believe.
Oh, it was you were patchy, yeah. You had a little gray going on somewhere.
Okay, it was like 95%, and now literally it's like 60-40, probably.
I'll be Antheron.
Antheron. Ian Remen.
Imranthony.
This is to say, we have been doing this for 9 years, and we'll continue to put out a show every week. You can give us a little tip there on our Patreon. You get stuff like access to a bonus podcast feed where there's bonus content, bonus movie reviews. The shows come out early, instant reactions. You can hang out with us every month on our Discord hangout. This month, March, will be March 21st, Thursday, March 21st. And there's other fun stuff on the Patreon. We appreciate everyone's contributions and sticking around for however many years you've been sticking around. It's crazy.
Amazing.
I can't even. That's why I realize I got to give Rugboy a week off every now and then. We're going 9 years of this shit. Little Felty's going to get burned out.
We gave him the week off.
That's right. Unpaid.
Unpaid week off.
It's unpaid week off, Rug. Sorry.
Yeah.
Not funny. That's a big fuck up right there.
Easy. Calm down. All right. Let's get to this week's review. We are going to Godzilla won an Academy Award first. Yay. We're going to talk about a Godzilla movie. Continue this segment. I'm just going to call Watch Me Watch Godzilla Out of Order. That's what we're doing.
Sort of.
So we started with the end of the Heisei era, 1995's Godzilla versus Destoroyah. Then we jumped ahead to the end of the Millennium era, 2004's Godzilla Final Wars. That also happened to be Godzilla's 50th anniversary. We are now jumping all the way back to just after Godzilla's 20th anniversary, We're going to review 1975's Terror of Mecha Godzilla. Here's your spoilers.
Strap yourselves in, you fucks. Spoiler time.
For a 48-year-old movie.
I want to add in for the non-Godzilla fan here, may have heard this before, but bears repeating. The Godzilla movies, there's a lot of them. They have different eras. So from 54 to 74 is the Showa era. From 84 to 95 is the Heisei era. From 99 to 2005, four. Millennium era. And then now we're currently in the Reiwa era.
That doesn't start until 2016. So there's like a huge gap.
With the Shin Godzilla. Yeah.
Between...
And this is only Japanese films. So the American films don't count in these eras.
Yeah.
But what we've been doing, as Mimran mentioned, is watching these out of order, is he decided he wanted to just watch the end of each era.
I don't know why.
And this is the last one of the eras because the Reiwa era, the end hasn't happened yet. The latest Reiwa movie we did see was Minus One, and we reviewed it. So
we reviewed that. We reviewed the first movie of the Reiwa era, which is Shin Godzilla.
Right.
So slowly I'm filling in the holes. I will say it has been fun learning about the franchise at the end of the era.
Way.
Yes, backwards. But where Godzilla is at the end of these eras and, like, you know, kind of lines up to the decades and the times. It's a lot of fun. So Terror of Mechagodzilla, 1975. This is the 15th film in the Godzilla franchise. And it is, I learned, a direct sequel to the movie before it, which is Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla. And it's the final movie of the Showa era.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next era wouldn't start until 1984. So, were these eras named at the time? Because I'm getting the sense that every so often Toho is like, okay, Godzilla is not making as much money anymore. We need to just give it a break for a while.
Yeah, I don't think at the time they were named. So, I don't know that Bilotti would be the guy or even Ruggs.
Right.
Showa, I believe, these are named after prime ministers or emperors.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know that they knew at the time that this was called going to be the Showa era.
Okay, afterwards.
Starting with the Heisei. Yeah.
Well, they had a lot of time before the next era to figure out what they were doing. So, very interesting. Right. On Rotten Tomatoes, this one has only 7 reviews. It's 43%, 6 out of 10. Audience score, 59%. In the budget, from what I found on Wikipedia, it says here $1.2 million. And then it says it made $20 million worldwide in 1975, which is very interesting. Other interesting things about this movie. It is directed by Ishiro Honda.
Yes.
Directed the first movie. This would be his fourth and final movie. And I believe he was kind of semi-retired.
He was not doing too many Godzilla films. But this, you mentioned the tickets. I think this was the lowest selling.
Oh.
One of the lower selling.
Oh, so yes. So there's this thing of diminishing returns with the Godzilla. And then you just like, you know what, let's pause. But I guess, you know, it's good to pause and make it special again. Other interesting things, special effects by Teruyoshi Nakano. And then I also love watching the Big Action Bill videos. So I have.
Oh, did you watch it?
Yes, of course.
Okay.
It's great. He's got great information. It's a great series. It's like perfect cliff notes for every Godzilla movie. So from that, I learned this is kind of cool. This movie is written by Yukiko Takayama.
Yeah,
only the second woman only to ever write a Godzilla movie and the first woman to write it on her own. How did she get this gig? They put out an open story contest and she was in a writing school and she pitched the story and they liked it so much that they wanted her to write a full script for the thing, which is kind of crazy. It was just like a story contest. Tell us what you want Godzilla to be. And she wins and she gets this movie. That's kind of neat.
Yeah, yeah, this was a fan thing, and then she wrote it, and they kind of changed it a little bit, but for a lot of her ideas are in the film.
Yes, and when we get into the movie, you can see how it, you know, it focuses on one particular woman, and it's kind of all, that's kind of cool. Scored by Akira Ifukube.
Yeah.
And that shit, every time I watch it, I walk around later just going, dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, he's great. Dun, dun, his dun, music dun, is dun, always dun, really good.
Now,
and he came up with some original stuff for this one.
And it like sticks in your head. Like I'm always humming that after I watch these movies. Help me out with the cast here. Cause I know again, like the other movies, there's a bunch of people who are in previous movies who were in the original movies. For example, the guy playing Dr. Mifune, Akihiko Harada,
Yeah, he's in a lot of Godzilla films, but he was the guy in the first one that comes up with the oxygen destroyer and stuff. And
he's Sarazawa in the first movie, right?
He's Dr. Sarazawa.
That's crazy.
Correct. Yeah,
it's cool that they have him.
Toho likes to he was in a couple Godzilla films, more than a few.
Yeah.
They like to recast the actors, but not have them play the same role. So it's always a little confusing.
It gets confusing. Them. Did you recognize these other people from other things also?
There are a few.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kenji Sahara is one of the generals. He doesn't have much of a role. I've recognized him. Goro Mutsumi, he's in the last film playing an alien, which is kind of odd that they have him again, but it's not the same guy. I think there's a couple others that were in a few films, but Harada is the big one. Akihiko Harada.
Yeah.
And this is the last Godzilla film.
Yeah. It is. Yeah. We played Serizawa. So, yeah, we'll get into the cast. But first, Anthony, tell me what happens. This is a G-rated movie. And it's only an hour and 19 minutes. Wonderful runtime.
I don't know how it has a G rating.
Yes.
And you have tits in the movie.
Yeah, we will talk
it's
about that.
Odd.
It confused me. The plot.
What happens? This is a direct sequel to Godzilla vs. Mechagodzilla. And if you didn't know that, the opening credits will give you...
That was very helpful. It was very helpful.
We'll bring you up to speed real quick on what's happening. So Mechagodzilla was destroyed in the last film. He's... a weapon of these aliens. The humans are looking for the wreckage of Mechagodzilla, and they come across this dinosaur, an underwater dinosaur. And it turns out this underwater dinosaur is being controlled by a mad scientist who's been excommunicated from the community, and he wants revenge on Earth. So he's partnered with the aliens who are rebuilding Mechagodzilla, and they want to take over the world for their own evil things. And the only thing that can stop both of these monsters together is Godzilla.
Of course. Well, they just wanted, they just want to destroy Tokyo so they can rebuild it and take their true forms, finally, at last.
Right. Well, the aliens want to take over the Earth, essentially, but because they think Earth humans are simple creatures, and I think they want to feed on them or whatever. I don't know what exactly is going on, and... their home planets may be destroyed or some shit. I forget exactly.
Like I said,
doesn't matter. They want to take it over.
A lot of these movies I've noticed have aliens. You know, Invasion of Astro Monster, Final Wars. We saw aliens and mutants. This one,
lots of aliens in these movies. Mechagodzilla has aliens. Megalon has aliens.
Yeah.
Gigan has aliens. Well, Megalon has underwater people, underground people. Gigan has aliens. Final Wars has aliens. Lots of aliens. Destroyer has alien monsters. Or not aliens.
No,
Space Godzilla has alien monsters.
Destroyer.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to start because I've never seen
it. You start. Yeah. I want to hear what you think.
I know you've probably seen this movie a bunch of times. We're going to find out what you think. I've never seen this movie. And having watched the other two finales, I was excited to go to the 70s.
This is when you were born.
Well, it's a year before I was born. But yes, this movie would have been new when I was a baby. I'll tell you what, I loved the 70s feel of this, the fucking fashion, the electronics, the giant collars and the sideburns, and the one dude who looks like he just stepped out of a fucking Speed Racer cartoon. That guy's fantastic. I thought actually it was fun to watch, and it actually had some characters that I could remember their name.
Yeah.
And they were kind of interesting what was going on. Well, one of them, I remember their name because they kept saying Katsura so many times. Katsura!
Oh, yeah.
Katsura! Every 5 minutes, the old man's yelling her name. But Mifune.
She's the daughter of Mifune who is brought back to life by alien technology.
Yes. She, while helping him make this controller for this dinosaur, gets zapped. And then that whole scene is wild. So there's a couple of weird, wild, fun things. Maybe it's like too many things going on because like there's a third kaiju in this. There's Titanosaurus, and he seems more integral to the plot than Mechagodzilla overall.
I literally wrote down as I was watching this, why is this called Terror of Mechagodzilla?
That's what I was asking. I was like, this is a Titanosaurus movie.
Right.
And he's like, and I felt bad for him. He's innocent in this whole thing. He's just being mind controlled. Didn't want to have any part of this.
Right.
It's not his fault.
Did you like it?
So I did like it. I appreciated the look. It's 70s, right? It's I don't know about the design of Godzilla. We'll talk about that. But the miniature work, when it's like the wide shot and everything's miniature and shit is blowing up, it's pretty. It's fun. It's impressive. Mm-hmm. It's fun to look at. the composite shots where there's people running down the street are a little rough.
Yeah.
You know, but they're, they built like a whole city and then just fucking blew it up. It was great. It's great watching that.
This was kind of a return to form for Godzilla films in terms of having the monsters fight in the city. A lot of the movies prior to this were just, I guess probably because they didn't have the budget, but a lot of the fights were staged in big, open, barren lands with very little amount of buildings around. But this one, lots of buildings.
Well, and so it looks like they shot some of it outside, too, where you get a feeling like they're actually outside. But were there people in all those buildings? This is a high death count, then. Now that I'm thinking about it.
Don't think about that. Yeah, there's probably
there's lights on in those buildings. I remember
some of those buildings might have had some people in them.
So yeah. There was children, pets.
Yeah,
but they're all dead.
Don't think about it though. It's a G movie, except the tits.
Oh my God! I don't even know where to start. So I had fun with this, and there are some things I need to ask about, and something like, you know, the toy submarine at the beginning is great.
Oh, it's hilarious. A Titanosaurus pops up out of the water, does a belly flop onto the sub, and then they cut to the toy Titanosaurus and sub.
It looks like it's just being flushed down a toilet.
Swirling down a toilet.
So hilarious. And I thought it's interesting that like they don't call him a kaiju. He's just a dinosaur. He doesn't really.
What did you think of Titanosaurus?
I kind of liked him. He didn't really have any powers. He could jump really high.
Could jump and he's got the fins.
He's got the tail attack,
right?
So the combo of like Mega
and he's
Godzilla,
bigger than Godzilla.
Yeah, they seem all to be about the same size. Or he was a little bit bigger.
He's bigger.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, there's a big battle at the end. The combo attack of Mega Godzilla, like he blows shit up, and then Titano just blows it away to clear space so they can build their shit on Tokyo. I was like, oh, that's efficient. You get a nice clean space to start.
What do you think of Titanosaurus's roar?
It's good. It's like a little. It's a little more high pitched and screechy. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. So you have these aliens, Black Hole Planet 3, and they just look like people. So I guess they didn't.
People. The last movie they turned into apes.
Oh, they were ape people.
Yeah, but this one, I don't know if they had the budget to turn them into apes, so they just kept them as people for the most part.
People with fun, spiky like helmets,
looking like fucking. Oh God, the one-eyed green alien cartoon.
Oh, Marvin the Martian.
Sort of like that. What's that green alien? One-eyed green alien.
It's Marvin
the ears.
Is it
Marvin the Martian?
One-eyed green alien.
Whatever. Whatever. But those costumes are so funny.
All the silver
and then the silver helmets with the big horns sticking out of the sides.
Okay, then we meet the doctor, right? Dr. Mifune hates everyone, and they give you his backstory. And it's a little confusing because he's like, I want to control animals.
Right.
And I found out a way to control this Titanosaurus. And then apparently they all just fucking attack him. And for some reason,
they punch him in the face.
There's a picture of them just like jumping on him. And I'm like, okay, this made you that mad. And then
I think it was the fact that he wanted to control the monster.
Okay. I mean, we shouldn't be controlling animals. I'll agree with that. It's a little weird, but to jump the guy like that, that seemed odd.
It was a picture. You don't know exactly. Maybe he had the last ramen noodle packet. Who knows?
And then we meet the daughter, Katsura, and this is, what did the Bill Action, Big Action Bill, had a little thing about her?
Well, I don't remember. It's been a while since I've seen that particular episode.
I think she, like, did porn after this.
Oh, she did, she might have done, if that's what you're getting at, she did what they call pink films.
Yes, that's what he said.
Which are semi-softcore porn movies. I don't even know. They're not really porn, they're like sex movies in Japan.
Interesting.
I guess I would equate them to softcore erotic thrillers, I think is the kind of the similar comparison to America, although not quite the same, like your Basic Instinct types.
Okay. It's an interesting genre. I've never seen one.
I've never seen a pink film.
I guess the Godzilla didn't pan out for her afterwards. Anyways, she's good in this. She's attractive.
She's a good looking girl. Yeah. She's kind of just a pawn in everyone's game.
Yeah, but a lot of it is about her, right? Like, so I really got invested in Mifune and the daughter,
And then she's kind of battling the technology that's in her, humanity. It's kind of like a very, very simplistic RoboCop.
Yeah, because the alien... So, first of all, they show you the flashback where they're working on the thing, and if for some reason in this movie, every circuit board just explodes. Like, don't trust any of these circuit boards.
Technology.
So they try to start they try to start the controller. It explodes. She does a dramatic fall. And then these people just...
The aliens just come out.
Just come out dressed in red that he's never met before. These random...
They just file into the office and take her. And he's just like...
Like, who the fuck
Where are you going?
What's going on? They just take her and they put...
Nothing about that is...
It's like, what the fuck?
Realistic at all.
And they put cyborg parts in her.
I love that they just take her. Like, they were waiting for her to die.
Yeah, what...
And they're like, oh, there we go.
How did you know this even happened? Yeah.
Yeah. We've just been waiting.
That was so funny. That was so funny.
We knew she was going to die.
Yeah.
What happens if she never died? Would they have ever helped? Would they have ever? Would they ever expose themselves to Mifune?
Well, they need the controller. Apparently,
right,
she's good.
What if she never died?
Yeah.
Would they just been like, "Well, we're up Schitt's Creek without a paddle"?
Yeah, because for some,
we
some
can't
reason,
be friends with this guy.
She's the only one who can use the controller. Also, I noticed, and then she eventually gets the controller for Mechagodzilla.
Yeah. Anyway, before we get into it,
while
we're getting, let's pause.
Yeah.
I'll just give you my quick overall thoughts.
Oh yeah, sorry, I forgot to ask you.
It's all good. It's been a while since I've seen. This is the first time I've seen Terra Mechagodzilla in a long time.
Oh, okay, okay.
As a kid, I really liked this movie. I always enjoyed Godzilla fighting two monsters, and I vividly remember as a kid Terra Mechagodzilla blasting away with his weapons, and then what you mentioned earlier, Titanosaurus blowing things away.
Yeah, with the tail.
I always remember Titanosaurus's screech. I always remembered Godzilla taking off Mechagodzilla's head and there being a mini head in there. As an adult, obviously watched it for this. Entertaining film. I felt like it was, even though it was an hour 20, it felt long at times. I felt like the plot in through a lot of the movie is just them figuring out how to build a sonar machine.
Yes.
And then a lot of, mentioned, them trying to sway Katsura to work with them and this guy in love with her and all this stuff.
Yeah, that's right.
But once you get to the action, I think it's pretty fun. It's obviously of its time. Overall, I do enjoy the film, although I wouldn't say it was my, like, most favorite rewatch.
Okay.
I think I like it a little less than I did as a kid.
Oh, that's interesting.
But continue.
I mean, Godzilla doesn't show up till exactly 50 minutes into the movie.
Oh, yeah. It's a while. And you don't get Mechagodzilla till much later.
Yeah, because they're working on him the whole time. You get a shot, the superimposed shots of them going up there.
How about the Godzilla's first entrance, though?
Well, so I saw a lot of people remarking on how badass it is, and it is kind of cool. It's in the distance, you see the silhouette, and then you get the close up of the face. Mm-hmm. Like
as the music starts playing.
Yes. Was that memorable to you as a kid? Like, people seem to love that entrance. It's pretty good.
To be honest, I don't remember that entrance as much as a kid, but as an adult, I do think it's a pretty epic entrance. You have Titanosaurus kind of hopping around, and then all of a sudden he gets blasted.
Yeah.
And then the camera pans and it's shadows and it like pans past him, but you see his silhouette and then it comes back to him. And then it's just like, dun, 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 and he starts like roaring.
Yeah.
It is pretty cool. I always love though that giant monsters can just sneak up on one another.
Yeah. I was like,
that's always fun.
Where they like Godzilla pops out of nowhere several times.
So you wouldn't have heard that coming a mile away.
There's also a lot
but it is a badass entrance.
There's a lot of hand movements. Both, all three of them are doing like these kind of hand Tai Chi movements.
Yeah.
It's
they're like doing these face offs where they're kind of sizing each other up. But yeah, you're right. They're moving their hands in front of each other like the Tai Chi type stuff. It's kind of interesting.
We get that close up of Godzilla. Let's talk about, do you like this Godzilla head? Is this the same one they've been using? It's because there's a lot of white in the pupils and his nose
is
pushed back and squishy.
It's a more cartoony. So they brought this one in Megalon.
Okay.
It was more cartoony in Megalon. For these last two, they made his scowl a little bit angrier. I wouldn't say it's my, it's a design I remember. because it's so, his eyes are so big.
Yeah, they're really big. But the white part really makes it a little cartoony, right? Like, he's almost a little cute.
He is a little cute. They tried to, like, not make him cute in these last two by furrowing his brows.
Yeah.
Do I like the design? It's just, I've accepted it. I don't think I liked it much as a kid. I don't think it's his best design, but I, in an odd way, I've grown to kind of like it, even though it's a fucking stupid design.
Yeah.
It's not the worst. I kind of like it. I don't know why. I wouldn't say it's my favorite, but it's grown on me for sure.
But it's like 70s, 70s Godzilla.
Yeah. He's definitely very personable in this movie. Like, yeah,
there was something about his face.
Doing the hands. He runs a lot in this movie.
Yeah.
He runs at the monsters.
He throws body checks and shit. He's very flexible. Okay, let's just get to the big fucking what the fuck moment.
The fuck?
Right. Mifune sabotages the device, the sonic device. Okay, wait, there's a whole bunch of things here. Let me just back all the fuck the way up.
There's a lot of little things that happen.
For some reason, one of the agents, Ichiose, just happens to fall in love with Mifune. I don't know why.
Yeah, that's so crazy. He's just like in love with her. Just like,
he's talked to her like
barely
three
any
times.
Interaction with her.
And she's been like not the most charming. The first time she was like, my father's dead and there's no research. Go away. Mm-hmm. But he falls in love with her. Okay, whatever. So he cares about her. And then she sabotages. They think she sabotaged the machine because the wires are cut and they see her. And then you get these weird edits. By the way, the guy she's with is really creepy. She's got that creepy old man side.
Oh, yeah. There's a super. I wrote that down, too. I'm glad you noticed that. Where the dude, the main guy that loves her, is talking to her on a roof. And they cut really quickly to the old guy that's on her.
Yeah.
But like, he's not even there. They just cut to his face and then they cut back.
Yeah, it's really weird. No, I'm talking about the part where she's running away from them and there's an edit and they just disappear. And then it happens again. They're looking for her. Yeah, they see her and she blinks out as if she can teleport or some shit, or just really bad editing. I don't know which. I was like, wait a minute.
It's probably really bad editing.
She just fucking blinked out of existence. I was like, what happened there?
Yeah.
So she's
strange.
She's running and they're chasing her. They shoot her. She zaps them with her eyes. She falls off a cliff.
Her eye power thing is very ambiguous on what's going on there.
Wait, is that when she's, because I thought that only happens when she's controlling Mechagodzilla, but she can also zap people with it. They give they give her a lot of stuff with those servos in there. So then Ichiose thinks she's dead. The next thing we see is Katsura on the table with the aliens. And there is a chest plate that is fake boobies with full nipples, erect nipples, and an opening where you see these like 1970s servos and machines going back and forth. And I got so confused. I was like, wait a minute. This is a G-rated movie. If you were a kid, Anthony, and you saw this, that would be it. Geek boner.
So I don't think I don't think I saw it as a kid because I think they cut it out of the American version.
Okay, that would make sense.
But yeah, if I saw that as a kid, I would have gone crazy. I would have rewinded it over and over and over to watch that.
Fake boobies,
I would. I would have just kept watching it over and over. And the time that I watched this movie, I wouldn't even have known what being horny meant. But I would have known that this is something I shouldn't have watched. I would have kept watching it over and over.
It would have done something. There would have been.
If I got to see the Japanese version as a kid. It would have been over. I mean, I would have been super perverted. I would have been probably the worst.
So I can't understand if they were like, oh, they're not real. It's fine. You can show them. Like,
I don't understand why they even needed to show it.
No, you could have that covered up. Just show the open cavity on the inside. Right. Oh, why? Why? So in that Big Actionville video, she was talking about the scene and she was like, oh, I was so comfy. I actually fell asleep while they were shooting me. So she's like actually sleeping. It's just her head with this. I don't know if she even knew there was fake boobies on top of her. That was just wild. I was like,
it's a weird scene.
What the fuck am I watching? Okay, so then let's get into the last half of the movie where all the action happens. They finish Mechagodzilla. They launch him. They blow up the base. There's scientists who are prisoners. They cut out their vocal cords. All this crazy shit that happens. And it's a two-on-one battle there. Oh, there's that scene where there's the two kids. And this is when Godzilla comes back. They're about to be squished.
This is the second time he comes back.
The second time he comes back. Because the first time he just like looks at Titanosaurus and the Titanosaurus just fucks off. He just turns around. Well, no,
they like, yeah, they like face off and yeah. then yeah, Titanosaurus
runs. So now there's these two kids and the boy is like, no, don't go. And you see a really bad superimposed foot.
About to stomp on him.
Yeah, and they're going, Godzilla, help us. And then out of nowhere, just Godzilla pops up.
He pops up behind a building and he starts running at him.
He's so but far away. They would have been squished by
yeah,
then.
Yeah, they were squished.
They were already dead. What are you doing?
Not as cool an entrance that in that one, in my opinion.
That was weird. But then you see Mechagodzilla has got spinny hand rockets, which
that's in the last one. I don't know why they say that that's a new weapon, but it's not.
It's not a new weapon.
But there's again, this one has a standoff where he's looks like staring at both of them. But I wrote down while they're fighting that Godzilla kicks Titanosaurus super far.
Yeah.
He runs and kicks him and he flies.
Well, and Titanosaurus kicks Godzilla and then you just see like the suit float over the mountains.
What I did like though, and this is, I've only seen this in this movie, is the underneath shots where they're like fighting and it's like they're both like boxing each other.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of wheels.
And those make them look really huge.
Yeah, there's the ground level. That was a cool way. Yeah. He's just shooting up and like some of it where it's outside and the sun's behind them is kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Godzilla kind of gets his ass kicked because it's like it's an unfair 2-on-1 battle.
2-on-1, and in the first one or in the last one, Mechagodzilla gave Godzilla all he could handle. He was actually fighting both Mechagodzilla and King Caesar, kind of a mismatch to have these two against Godzilla.
So there's some goofy bits in here where Titanosaurus bites him in the face,
picks him up by the upper
and
face,
just lifts his body up,
yep.
And throws him around, and then. Like, they bury him, both of them, and then he's just jumping on his grave.
Did you notice when Titanosaurus is jumping on his grave, what he has fuck? His hands behind
his
back?
Hand, like he's doing a jig. He's doing a little Irish jig. He's like, I killed Godzilla.
That reminds me of, like, old Asian people with their hands behind their back when they walk.
But I was so confused because the ground is bouncing, and he's, like, scraping, and he's just jumping.
He's bouncing on him. He's just jumping up and down.
Jumping out of there. And then the humans get the supersonic weapon. They help by distracting Titanosaurus.
Yeah, so Titanosaurus is discovered to not like sonar when he tries to attack a sub earlier on. So they stick and half the movie they're like trying to rebuild this sonar weapon. And at one point, the guy's like, I need it in 2 days. He's like, you have one.
Yes, you have 1 hour. No, he gives him like an hour or a day. Yeah, he's like,
if I could do it in an hour, you would. Yeah, I'd say an hour. And then... They have a helicopter and they stick this Titanosaurus with a sonar weapon so he can't, he's like brain scrambled.
Yeah, they got to tag him with a thing first and then shoot sonar waves and he's like, and the whole time I'm like, this fucking poor Titanosaurus, he was just minding his own business.
Yeah.
He didn't want any of this. Anyways, then it gets really crazy as Godzilla busts back out of his grave.
Great. This one's a good entrance.
This is great. He busts out, he blasts Mechagodzilla, falls over, and then my favorite part, he just like dusts himself off. He's like, let me get this dirt off me. And he grabs him. Oh, and then Mechagodzilla unloading on him with everything, right? From his mouth, from his chest, from his fingers, from his fucking knees.
That's actually a great...
holy shit.
I love that shot because you've got Godzilla running through real fire.
Yeah.
At some point, the suit gets on
the
fire.
The suit catches on fire as he powers through this fucking attack.
Yeah,
you know, he goes down on his knees. He gets up. He's a fucking fighter. It's pretty dope.
Yeah, and then he finally gets to Mechagodzilla. He starts beating his ass and doing the same thing that he did in the first one, which is he knows he needs to take his head off.
Yes, right. I knew that. That's how, because they kind of did that in the new movie too, though. Right. So I know.
Yeah, that's the only way you can really beat him. And he takes his head off. And then, as I mentioned earlier, there's a mini head.
But this
time, I think they imply that there's a brain.
Yes, because Mifune, while working on Mechagodzilla, goes, this is a great design. It would be even greater with actual human tissue. And then when they're fixing Katsura, they're like, oh, first of all, by the way, we saved her. Second of all, the controller for Mechagodzilla is inside her now. And
I don't even know what that means.
I don't know what that means either. Like, because they were like, their plan was they're going to blow up the base and only she will have the controller for Mechagodzilla. And they're like, Interpol will never figure it out. And they're like, third of all, yeah, that was your idea with the brain. So we put some of your daughter's brain into Mechagodzilla there. So
I love that the villains in this too, when they say their evil plan, they laugh. They're like,
they have great maniacal laughs. And meanwhile, Mifune,
we're so clever.
I love Mifune because he's conflicted, but he never really. He just still like he's like, what have I done? But he doesn't save his daughter. He wanted to do this to prove that he could do this the whole time.
Yeah, I wrote down maybe Mifune should have had a redemptive arc because he's still just pigheaded and goes,
yes.
Well, that sucks for my daughter, but still, he's like, I got to prove to these humans.
Because at one point, the guy's like, doctor, you can stop this. And he's like, the die is cast. Oh, well, right. What am I going to do? And he doesn't really have a redemption or try to save his daughter, which is hilarious. So this means Mechagodzilla's brain still attacking because Katsura is alive. So meanwhile, Ichiose, who was captured, gets free, chokes out a fucking alien. And then the guy just rips his face off. I guess that's what happens when they die.
The face starts to melt off.
Seems random. And then the chief comes in because Katsura's got a gun on him. He shoots her in the arm, revealing cyborg robotic parts, right? Yep. And I'm like, he shot her in the arm, so she should be fine. Mifune tries to run. The chief shoots him. He dies.
Yep.
Gets shot by the cops. And Katsura is kind of snapping out of it. And Ichiose, at this point, decides to tell her, I love you. You are the warmest heart ever. And she's like, you have to destroy me. He's like, of course, I can't do that. So she kills herself. She dies.
Yeah, a little suicide action.
Yeah, taken out. And then Mechagodzilla is out. And then Godzilla just has to take care of Titanosaurus, which he just blasts him over the cliff. And again, I was like, poor Titan.
He just runs off.
He just runs off. He's like, I don't want to be here anyways.
Yep, and then the movie just kind of it ends with him
in that giant,
just walking in the water,
In that giant pool set. I know they have, you know, when they were making these, but it's similar to like the end of Final Wars where they're just walking off into the sunset, into the ocean. The end.
Yeah, and you didn't. I don't know if they knew at the time that that was going to be the last one, but with watching that in perspective, I did. I wouldn't say I got choked up because that's not even the word, but I got a little nostalgic seeing that and going, oh, that's the end of the Show era.
There would not
those movies don't. That's it. That's it.
There would not be another Godzilla movie till 84. So big gap there. But interesting, fun movie. I almost feel like, did you really need Mechagodzilla? Like the aliens and Mifune and the daughter and the Interpol officer in love. Like that's a nice story. That was kind of interesting. You know, usually with these, you guys always tell me that, you know, the human characters, you barely remember their name. But I remembered the doctor and the dog.
You remember the doctor because he's got a pretty wild performance.
Yeah.
He's all grayed out. And then you do remember Katsura. And the other people are okay.
You
definitely remember some of the human characters.
Yeah. So
Brought back Mechagodzilla because he was a popular villain. I love that Mechagodzilla design is great. It's an iconic design. He was a good villain in the last one. It's weird they call it Terror of Mechagodzilla, like I said earlier. I don't love Titanosaurus's design. I think his head the actor is clearly like looking through the neck.
Oh yeah, the eyes gotta be in the neck. Yeah,
and his head. I mean, his head is so floppy around.
And the eyes look really fake. It's supposed to be a reptile. You got fins. The long snout. So the tail thing that opens is kind of fun, but
yeah.
But like. It's he can't zap anything. He just jumps. He jumps and he destroys the planes.
He's just a goofy. The one where he fucks off and jumps like over the mountain in the beginning.
Yes, he's like, I'll see you later.
Hilarious. Oh, the other one is when the planes are coming by and he jumps. I don't know what is that 20,000 feet.
Yes, he jumps in front of them and then just destroys them or something. I don't know what happened there.
Yeah, it's definitely. There's goofier films from this time. Don't get me wrong, including one we've reviewed before, Godzilla vs. Ghidorah.
Yeah.
But it's certainly very goofy. At times, a little drags a little bit. There's a lot of different. I felt like, again, I mentioned this earlier, a lot of the plot revolves around them fixing this sonar machine.
Yeah, it takes forever. It takes a long time.
Godzilla doesn't show up till 50 minutes in. Yep. Mechagodzilla doesn't really get into action until much later.
And he just kind of stands.
Definitely an odd film.
He just like stands around. He doesn't really move much. He's just either.
No, yeah, this one he's just kind of blasting away.
Yeah. I did love.
So yeah, it's an interesting film.
I love little things like when she's controlling Titanosaurus underwater, she's got like screens with the underwater cameras, I guess, following the action.
I don't know how those screens even exist.
I was like, where
this is the thing.
Where are you getting this feed from? This is interesting.
Yeah, this is a known thing in Godzilla films. There's just cameras
everywhere. It is Japan.
I don't know where they are, but they're everywhere.
It is Japan. But look, at the end of the day, this movie gave me fake boobies. It gave me Godzilla suit on fire. It gave me some fun, goofy things.
I love
the miniatures. I love the work. Blowing up the whole city was fucking. I also think he mentions in that video, like, the budget was so small, they would blow up one thing and have five different cameras and then just like reuse those angles as like a different location. But it was just the one explosion.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely, it's a film.
Yeah.
It's not one of the worst. I wouldn't say it's one of the best. It's kind of right in the middle for me. There is memorable stuff. The entrance is probably the biggest thing. Titanosaurus, some people like him, some don't. Mechagodzilla is still an iconic monster.
That's the toy I see everywhere as a vet.
That's the one. That's the one. There's been four Mechagodzillas, but the first one is always, that's the best design. Yeah. It's such an iconic look. He looks angry.
Yeah.
I love in this one and in the last one, when he shoots, goes off and starts shooting everything from everywhere out of his body.
That's crazy. It's always fun. Yeah, and you get like the old 70s, like superimposed little laser lines and shit. But then mixed in with like real, there's a lot of real explosions.
Right, which
they look pretty good. Yeah. All right, we can rate it.
All right.
Rank it.
I'll start and then I want to hear you. So I'll say this movie's probably a 5.5 or a 6 out of 10 for me.
Yeah, okay.
I liked it a little bit more than I thought I did as a kid. Watching it as an adult, I definitely laughed a lot, but at times I felt it was a little boring. I'm glad it's only 84 minutes or 81 minutes.
Yeah.
But there were still, even with that short runtime, I felt like sometimes it was a little bit boring, a little goofy, some weird shit, but of its time and the last of the shore. And I like Mechagodzilla. I do like the design, and there's some fun fights. The last 20 minutes or so is just all
battle. Yeah. He's got, they're both getting at him, and then he's got to take care of them one at a time. Humans help. No, I would say, look, I had fun. I love the 70s feel of it, and I understand where it sits in the history. Ishiro Honda is great. The music gets stuck in my head.
Oh, music. Yeah. Whenever Titanosaurus. Yeah.
I felt bad for Titano. I connected with the doctor and I was like, this guy's crazy. So give me some memorable things. And then again, fake tits is crazy. Like, what are you doing? It's a G-rated movie. I'll give it like a 6.5.
Where do you have this amongst? So of the three of the last movies of each era, where would you rank this?
I was thinking about this. Okay. I think my...
Give your rankings and why.
My favorite out of the three, I'm going to go with Godzilla versus Destoroyah.
End of the
Heisei era.
That's my favorite.
Because it's the only one, it doesn't have aliens. It doesn't have a million things going on. It's kind of focused.
Pretty straightforward. Yeah.
It is a good callback to the original. I like that time period where it's like practical is like getting really good and there's a little bit of effects, you know, woven in.
Mm-hmm.
Second, I'm going to have to go Final Wars because it's fucking wacky. At least it's fucking wacky as shit. It's entertaining. There's 14 fucking monsters.
Nick Shev is going to just
I know he's going to kill me, but it's got mutants and aliens and pimps and holy shit. And then this one. And this one is good too. Like, it, for the era, I get where it was and what they were doing and had some fun stuff. But like, I know Final Wars is just not, it's not a good movie, but it's fun. Boy, is it memorable.
I would agree with you. I mean, I'll just start by saying again, Final Wars is not good.
Yeah.
But goddamn, is that fucking thing wacky and memorable.
It's so fun.
It's way more out there than this one.
Yeah.
This one's pretty wacky as well.
Yeah.
But I kind of would agree with your rankings.
Okay. Yeah. No, I like it. I think this Destoroyah, I think that's the best.
Destoroyah is ostensibly the best film. Like, without question. If you're doing the end of each era, Destroyers actually takes it very seriously.
Yes.
And good miniatures, good battles.
And, like, the whole rebirth, the trippy shit you see at the end, like, that's great. Right. It has a sense of finality and rebirth, right?
Right.
And it makes sense.
Yeah, this one has a nice, I mean, he walks off into the sunset, yeah. But which is better than the Godzilla Final Wars. I'd say of the endings, I think this one has the second best. Final Wars just kind of also does that with the baby.
Yeah, with the baby.
With the baby, and then the baby and the baby kid,
yes,
saying, no,
save him.
No more. Peace.
It's so crazy. That's so stupid. But come on, it had mutants and bullet time and all these fucking crazy things. That movie's mm-hmm. wild. But this was a lot of fun watching the end of these. I don't know what my next move is now. Watch the beginning.
Yeah, I don't know what we're going to do now. Yeah, we'll figure something out.
Watch the beginning. But I feel better about my Godzilla knowledge watching the end of all these. Lots of fun. Okay. Let's do some news from the nation.
It's time for news from the nation.
It's time for news from the nation.
It stinks. I'll
do it myself.
It stinks.
I'll do it live. I got one thing from our Jock and Nerd Nation group member, Brian Goff. Who is always on our Discord. It's always fun to have him. He says, posts a picture of a movie. He says, my friends, this is the movie you should all check out. It's got Mahoney, Sergeant Callahan, and Motormouth Jones from Police Academy, and the catcher from The Sandlot. Still not sold? It has Ian Ziering and the guy who's locked in the bathroom with Carrie Elwes in Saw. Also, giant tarantulas from a volcano. You're welcome. Apparently, there's a movie called Lavalantula.
Oh, my God.
I guess I shouldn't be surprised. It's a real movie, sci-fi movie, actually part of the Sharknado universe.
Oh, God.
Hence the Ian Ziering. This poster is hilarious because it says Steve Guttenberg, Lavalantula. So there's giant tarantulas coming out of lava.
And spitting lava out, are they?
Yes. It looks like God. He's spitting lava out. That's amazing. Jamie Robinson also chimes in saying, love this movie almost as much as I love the sequel. Here's the title for the sequel. This is amazing. It was called To Lava, To Lantula.
Oh, God.
That was actually, and I'm like, these are real movies. Yes, there are real movies.
Jesus. There's a market for this.
There is. And I think they were shown after. It's like the continuation of the Sharknado. Lava Lantula makes sense, right? You got right. Tornado with sharks. Now you have a volcano with giant tarantulas.
Exactly. You know, that totally makes sense.
Almost makes me want to go and find these sci-fi movies. But
oh God.
Can I tell you what I will be watching? Because Ruggs pointed out the sci-fi Dune series.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You're going to watch that?
It's all on YouTube.
Oh, no.
I'm totally watching it. I started late last night, but I fell asleep. There's like six episodes. There's three that continue Dune, and then the Children of Dune is three, but they're all like an hour and a half. They're like movie length episodes. Oh, wow. But it's the whole story in the movie and then afterwards going further. So I don't know. I think I'm gonna check it out. It's very I watched the beginning. Yeah, and it's very sci-fi budgety, really hard, harsh green screens behind some of these people. But William Hurt is in it, so I don't know. Could be something. And then I will watch Lavalantula. Speaking of watching things, Anthony, you watch anything interesting?
No, nothing too much. I mean, obviously some sports. I've been getting a lot of pings though to start watching Shogun.
So
that might
yes.
be something I start.
It's three episodes out now. I've watched all three. It's fucking it's dope, man. It's dope.
Really?
Yeah.
I heard it's like feudal Japan, yeah. Game of Thrones.
Absolutely. I mean, it's the original. Like this, you know, the man wrote this shit before Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
But the sets and the setting and the production, you learn kind of Japanese. Like I'll watch those and I'll walk around just going arigato gozaimasu, arigato gozaimasu. I don't know what that means. But you kind of learn
you something.
Yeah, you learn they like translate some, you learn some Japanese words. There's
it's good though.
It's good. It's good. Okay. The acting is good, the drama is good. I think it's 10 episodes. Each episode is over an hour though, so it's really meaty. And it's gonna be a one and done. Like I think they're just doing this one season.
That's what I heard,
which is the whole book. But Haruyuki Sanada's in it, Anna Sawai, they're all great.
I might have to check that out pretty soon.
The other thing I watched, you know, this is great. Daniel Dae Kim in Avatar, The Last Airbender, live action on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
That dude's still jacked, dude. There's a scene where he's like the Fire Lord Ozai. Mm-hmm. Takes off his top. He's fucking jacked. How old is this
guy? Daniel Day Kim.
Daniel Day Kim. He was Lost.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah,
this guy.
Yeah.
Oh, he is jacked.
He's jacked. He's great. This, like, both shows have a great Asian cast in them all around. And
nothing like some Asians.
It's great. But I finished Avatar, all the episodes. It's very good. I really enjoyed it. They did, and this one too. The costumes are amazing. The effects are really good. The setting is really good. There's this town called Omashu that's like built into the mountains, and they've got these like concrete slides you ride to get around. It was such a, I wanted to go there. It was such a cool looking town. The world building is really good. The relationships are very nuanced. All the characters are multidimensional. Like, you even care for like the supposed bad guys, the Fire Nation people who are trying to take everything over. It's a whole thing with the Fire Lord and his son and his daughter and the uncle. And you kind of care about some of these characters, and they're clearly the bad guys. It was very interesting. And the kid is not that annoying. He does a good job of being a kid, but not being annoying, which I think is important because it's his show. So it's good. Right, it's good.
Well, I'm not a big Avatar guy, but I'll leave you to that.
I liked it. I have not seen the cartoon, so I had nothing to compare it to. But I thought they did a good job building this world. I believe it's getting two more seasons, and then that's going to be it. So it's already been renewed, which is rare for Netflix to actually give out more seasons. So yeah, that's all I watched. I didn't really watch it.
Yeah, I'm surprised. Usually you have a whole, you usually have about 15 things listed here, and today you just wrote down one.
I was busy.
Wow. I'm surprised you weren't plopped in front of your couch smoking a joint.
I mean, I was. I still got a, I mean, I just was watching weekly things. I don't remember what I was watching. I don't know, I think I watched something else, but I don't fucking remember.
All right.
And then, like, just random shit, so. But Avatar I liked. I mean, I liked it as much as I like Cowboy Bebop. One Piece. They both did a good job of, like, world building and making it believable.
There you go.
Okay. That's it. Rugs is not here. Rugs,
where can the listener find? You can find me on Twitter. Get I mean, the fuck X, out of here. I don't remember my handle because I
reach out to Rugs at Rugboy Show on X and tell him
there's a fart.
You hope he feels better. Where can the listener find you, Anthony?
You can find me probably plopped in front of a TV watching March Madness announcements.
That time of
it's getting close.
It's bracket time. Brackets, gotta get the brackets.
Brackets. We've done a couple brackets for movies.
We did it.
You know what a bracket is.
No, we have done brackets. Just the college basketball bracket. I can't be bothered. It's a fucking crapshoot. all right. Well, there's some March Madness going on and some drinking of Irish beer. There you go.
There you go.
Yeah. That's it for this week. Thanks for checking us out. Share this with your friends. Listener, we would appreciate it. Thank you for listening to the Jock and Nerd Podcast. My name is Imran.
My name's Anthony.
He's the jock.
He's a nerd.
Beep you next time.
I really don't give a shit. That's a big fuck up right there. Get the fuck out of here.
Jock and Nerd.